Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Jason Mackey's First 10, the quick hit podcast that gets you ready for the day. Very special day today with the NFL draft kicking off tonight over at Steelers headquarters. We also have a special event of our own. We're going to talk a lot about that and a little bit about the Pirates and what they have going on. First, I want to remind you that we are sponsored by the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park. It's Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. This event is fun, crazy, makes me think about the bigger picture of it a lot, meaning the NFL draft, of course, and all of the stuff that is poured into it. Have you ever thought about the number of mock drafts that exist, how much changes without games being played or even combine workouts or all the stuff that we're scrutinizing? And it all comes to a head over about 3 hours, something like that tonight. Just wild to me. And then you think about how much a franchise's fortunes can change. They can plug a hole. The NFL has just gotten so darn good at marketing this thing too. It's crazy. And it's just, you know, feeding the beast the past couple of months. And then it all bubbles to the surface for this one, and it will do the same for us as well. We're hosting a live stream over at Mike's Beer Bar. It'll be me, Chris Carter, Brian Batko, and Adam Bittner talking all things Steelers. Brian will be over at the Steelers facility, which I go to. I'm kind of splitting my time, starting at Mike's and then driving over to the South Side. Always in a fun event if you've never heard about how this exists on the South Side. It's you say you're covering the draft. You're not actually going to the draft. You're just going to the practice facility, and we're all kind of huddled in a room. They'll bring in Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan late tonight. First round pick will be available on a conference call. First round pick shows up the next day for an in-person press conference. The Steelers will take him out and you know, kind of show him the city, that sort of deal. Second and third round picks, they'll be available via conference call. They'll start bringing in position coaches and that sort of thing. And that'll exist over the final 2 days. And it's just, you know, it's a whole bunch of availability, players, writing, availability, players, writing. It's a fun cycle, but you see a team just change shape so much. And so, okay, Steelers-wise, how would we want them to change shape? I've seen a lot of stuff about tackle. And to me, what I want them to do, what I think they should do, comes down to sort of want versus need. And you might want a tackle. I don't know if that's the need or the greater need. And at this point, you sort of have to prioritize things, right? If I look in the inside of their line, and I kind of wrote this earlier, but center to me is a much greater need, while tackle is a want. If they come out of this draft addressing their offensive line, I'm going to feel great about it. But if they come out of this draft with the current situation at center, I don't love it. Omar Khan did his best to pump up their other options earlier in the week, and that's great. But Nate Herbig should not be their number one center at this point, not with the options available to them. Like some of the tackles, it's not against Talese Fuaga of Oregon State, Troy Fatanu, whose name I still struggle to say, of Washington, Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma. They're going to, you know, three guys that theoretically should be available to them. Alt's not going to be around. Fashanu's not going to be around, but that's okay. You know, three very good tackles. I still wouldn't take them, or I would prefer Amarius Mims is one that I left off the list as well, but I would much rather see them take a center. And I think they're going to have some really good guys available to me. This, yeah, you know, I keep coming back to, is this over simple, an oversimplification? Like Jackson Powers Johnson, Graham Barton, both could very well be available. They address the Steelers' biggest, most current need. They're plug and play, and they can impact this year's team. Why not just draft them? Why are we talking about other things, about a possibly redundant draft pick or moving down? And I've talked about moving down if you feel like you can move down a little bit and still get one of those guys. But anymore, I've almost talked myself into just take the guy. Just don't overcomplicate it. So that would be my pick. I saw Jerry Dulac wrote Graham Barton. That's fine. That's great if that's what happens. Powers Johnson would probably be my pick, but I'm really not going to quibble between the two of them, or West Virginia's Zach Frazier. I don't know if Frazier would make sense at where the Steelers pick. Maybe that's a trade down scenario, or you trade up in the second round, but I don't know. We might just be overcomplicating things if it's Barton or Powers Johnson. Other areas that I'd like to see the Steelers address, cornerback is one. For sure. I think maybe not immediately. You have Dante Jackson this year, but maybe you get a guy you can play in the slot and then transition to outside corner next year. Max Melton from Rutgers seems to check that box for me. Somebody that you can maybe bring him along, not slowly, because you need an impact player in that spot, but somebody that it makes sense, somebody who's done that at the college level and then can transition outside in the pros. The other top three need I would have for the Steelers wide receiver. I understand some of what they've done this offseason to address that room opposite George Pickens, but I don't think they're done. They can't be done. Certainly like to see them get more there. I'm intrigued. Believe I've said this earlier by Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. Somebody, see him comp to like a Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Not a big believer in comps, but if that's your thing, yards after the catch, work over the middle, some stuff that Pickens maybe doesn't do as much. I like that as a complimentary option. And man, those two is your top two. I'd like to see where that goes. So we'll see what happens. Again, that starts at 8 o'clock. Steelers pick what? 7 or 10? Yeah, 7:30. 10:30, something like that. I'll be over at the facility by then talking to you there. But want to wrap up with a little bit of Pirates talk. It's getting warmer with Paul Skeens. I feel like that's the biggest storyline with this team right now. When are we going to see Paul Skeens? I don't think we're far off at all. Stuff I've been hearing is the beginning of May. Yeah, I think if you can extrapolate his starts out, I've heard May 4th and May 10th as ones that make sense. And I'd probably skew toward the May 10 one just because of how they've been bringing him along. They've certainly been, cautious, maybe to a fault. And I hear a lot of pushback on the scheme stuff. They're manipulating service time, or they're trying to be cheap, or this, that, and the other. No. I mean, what they're trying to do is be cautious. And whether they're right or wrong, I don't think anybody knows. I believe Ben Charrington talked about this on his radio show, but everybody is overly scared, worried, whatever, about pitcher arm injuries. And I don't think this is any perfect scenario for Paul Skeens, but basically you tamp down his innings at the beginning of the year, you theoretically should preserve them for later in the year, and you're proceeding with caution for a young arm that's obviously hugely important to the organization. So it's not perfect, but it's something. I really don't have a problem with what they're doing. That being said, they're kind of bobbing along. The starting rotation has been better than expected. I watched Bailey Falter's last start the other night, and all of us who were criticizing Falter and the Pirates for keeping him probably have to eat it at this point. I mean, he's been outstanding. It's a recipe that seemingly works with people not being able to touch his four-seam fastball that much, and Jones and Keller, and there's some promising things there. I think about this rotation, if you add Paul Skeens to what they already have, it's pretty darn good. We haven't seen the best work out of their bullpen yet. I think David Bednar is starting to find it a little bit. Colin Holderman has been good since coming back. Aroldis Chapman has just been so crazy inconsistent for what he's making. There's more there, certainly. Maybe Carmen Majinski gets back here. I think that's an important piece. But anyway, the bullpen should be able to give them more. And if you can get the offense figured out, which I think we've seen signs of it, O'Neill Cruz has been better. Andy Haynes, by the way, talked to our Andrew Destin about some of the, quote, volatile performances from young players. And I would agree with a lot of what was said and reported there. I do question why we're trying to do things that are that volatile as opposed to put guys in a better position to succeed more consistently, especially young players. That being said, nobody asked me for coaching advice. So you want to see more, right? Like, that's very clear. Jack Sawinski is one of the guys that falls into that category. I do feel like we've seen signs of him turning it around. I also think we're kind of getting to a point where you might start to see some changes. I wrote down Henry Davis's name just because that's somebody that I think is probably next up in that category. Yasmani Grandal is pretty darn close to coming back. If not today, very soon. It's a tough decision with Henry. It's a tough thing to talk about because he worked so darn hard and was so good in the spring. But you're not going to carry three catchers. Joey Bart, frankly, has been good. He's out of options and deserves to stay. Yasmani Grandal is making $2.5 million. Henry Davis isn't producing with the bat. So you probably got to swap that out. That's one young hitter who's going to get a little more runway to work. The other guy that I wanted to talk about briefly is Nick Gonzalez. before yesterday was hitting 402, two homers, 13 ribbies, and a 174 OPS. Curious, they, at what point do you go back to Gonzalez? Alika Williams sits on the bench a lot. Nothing against Alika. I think you'd probably just send him down at this point to play. You know, and he's actually been far better than I think a lot of people expected. But I think at some point you probably have to give Gonzalez a chance and see what he can do. In any case, you want the offense to improve. They need the offense to improve, and we'll see if they will. For tonight, the talk is more all about the draft, and we'll talk to you about that. Thanks for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of our content here at post-gazette.com, and we'll have plenty in the aftermath of the draft. Thanks, folks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.